Two of us, when we woke up this morning, climbed out of a warm bed, rushed across a cold and freezing house to build the fire back up in the fireplace before the rest of our family got up so the house would be warm. Who had to go and get a fire going in the wood stove in the kitchen so that somebody could fix breakfast this morning? Who reached and grabbed their only good suit of clothes to put them on this morning because they were going to services? I dare say none of us. I dare say none of us. We live in a time of great blessings. We live in a nation that is filled with riches. Question is, do we express thankfulness? Are we thankful for what we have? In a old sermon outline, I say old, I've seen it for a while. It's been preached many times and I've seen this in a number of different sermons. I have a listing of some things and it says if we wanted to experience what it was like for about half of the people of the world, we would need to take away all our furniture, have a few old blankets, a kitchen table and a chair, take away all the clothing except for the oldest dress or suit or shirt and a blouse and a pair of shoes for the head of the family. Empty the cupboards of food, with the exception of a small bag of flour, some sugar, salt, and a few molded potatoes, a handful of onions and a dish of fried beans. Dismantle the bathroom, shut off the water, remove the electrical wiring, exchange all automobiles for one bicycle. Take away the house itself and move the family into a tool shed. Cancel all subscriptions to newspapers, magazines, and book clubs. Put the nearest clinic or hospital 100 miles away and put a midwife in charge instead of a doctor. Discard the bank accounts, stock certificates, pension plans, insurance policies, and leave the family $5 in cash. And give the head of the family a few acres to cultivate to grow food for his family, one-third of which goes to the landlord. And you know, I realize we're only a few generations away from similar situations in this country. But I mention that because it's a reminder to us of where we are. Despite the fact that we have rising prices, we still have food in our cupboards and in our cold refrigerators. We can set our thermostats wherever we please, and we can choose from a number of different warm garments to wear on a day like this. We are rich in blessings, but am I thankful for those blessings? Do I acknowledge the source and provider of those blessings? The scripture that Brother Jimmy read for us this morning reminds us that oftentimes we may not be. Out of 10 who were healed of leprosy, a debilitating and never-ending disease for those that had it in that century, and it's still not cured now, by the way. Out of 10 who were healed, not just made better, but healed, one Samaritan came back and thanked Jesus for what had been done. And Jesus' question was, where are the nine? Are we the one or the nine? In Psalm 100, the psalmist says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. We want to consider this morning some things for which we need to be thankful. We're not going to touch on everything. We're going to touch on some broad categories, in fact. But I think it's important for us to, from time to time, remind ourselves of the things for which we ought to be thankful and to whom that thanks belongs. Some time back in 2020, as things started looking difficult, I'll use that word, I made it a practice every evening. I always go down and make sure all the doors are locked before I go to bed. I don't want somebody sneaking in the house while I'm asleep. So I go and make sure that all the doors are locked. Sometimes I have to check twice because I can't remember if I checked one of them or not by the time I got back. But I also made a practice of stepping out into the backyard, looking up at the heavens, whether it was cloudy or bright. And if it was raining, I'd stay under the roof of the back porch. But looking up at the heavens, and just starting with thank you, God, every night. And maybe a few exceptions, but not many. You know, I'm grateful I've been able to continue that practice. And I hope that I can continue that practice as long as I can walk out the back door, wherever that is, to look out and just thank God. And you know, some nights I start thanking Him for what's happened, for what's been going on. I find myself thanking Him for things that went wrong, as well as things that are going right. Thanking Him for friends and family, for brethren. So we're going to talk about a few of those things this morning for which we should be thankful. Because as I said, it's important for us to consider those things. Make ourselves aware on a regular basis of the great blessings that we have. And we're going to start with spiritual blessings, and we're going to start those spiritual blessings with salvation. Because if there is a greater blessing that has been poured out upon us than salvation from our sins, I do not know what it is. I do not know what it is. And without God, we would have no salvation. Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God has appeared bringing salvation to all people. And we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Without the action of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, we would be lost in sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, we read, thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Thanks be to God that I am free from sin. Salvation is from God. Victory, Paul told the Corinthian brethren, is through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death, the power of sin, holds no sway in the victory of Jesus. We're free from sin because of God. That's why we have salvation, and that's why Paul told the Corinthian brethren later in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonian brethren in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this He called you through our gospel that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus. We should be thankful for our salvation, and we should thank God daily, regularly, because it is only through the blessings that He gave us, only through His grace and the sacrifice of His Son, that we can even imagine being free from sin. Are we thankful for our salvation? Are we thankful for the relationship that we have with God as His children? Not only did God provide us the means by which we could be saved, He gave us the means by which we could come into His presence. We could live in His house. We could be in His family, even while we walk here upon the earth, and all the things that Scripture talks about that are ours because of that relationship with God. Peter says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to know that we can go to God with our difficulties and our struggles, and we can talk to Him, and He will be there for us. He not only will listen, but He will, if we look to His Word, give us guidance on how to deal with it. I have to say that while I was thinking about this over the last couple of days, especially yesterday when I was going back through this again, when I read that passage again, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you, I had images of when something would go wrong and I would fall and hurt myself when I was a little feller. And I'd go running to Mommy and she would kiss the boo-boo. And it never did hurt again unless I bumped it. Now, I know that's one of those little illustrations that some folks might think, well, now you're lowering it. No, I'm not. An illustration to remind us what it feels like to give your cares to something else. We go to somebody else and they take care of it. That's the relationship we have with God as His children. And this is a great blessing for us. Paul told the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be worried about anything, brethren. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Take it to God, and you can be at peace. We get worried and anxious about a lot of things. When we're young, we worry about what to wear. When we get older, we worry about how we're going to pay our bills. When we get kids, we worry, will we train them upright? How can we keep them safe? What can I do to the house to make sure they don't hurt themselves when they start toddling around and pulling on things and pushing things over? You know, you can't buy a TV stand nowadays that doesn't have a strap that you hook to the wall. Hardly. Because they're afraid somebody might pull it over. And hey, it's a valid concern. It's happened before. But that's just a little illustration of the kind of worries and concerns we have. We're afraid of everything sometimes. Paul told the Philippian brethren, don't. Don't be worried. Don't get anxious. Don't get overcome. Just give it to God. And put your trust in Him. He'll take care of it. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul when he was on his way back to Jerusalem with the gift for the Jewish brethren that he'd gathered over in the Macedonia and Achaia and Galatia area in Asia. As he came back to Jerusalem, everywhere he stopped, they said, if you go to Jerusalem, they're going to put you in prison. They're going to take your life if you go to Jerusalem. And Paul's response Well, I'm not worried about that. That gives me no concern. I know that's what everybody says, but I'm not concerned. Why? Because he knew God would take care of it. He knew that even if he lost his life, he would be with God. And that was his overwhelming concern. Paul was not concerned. It's a great blessing to have the relationship that we have with God because of our anxieties. It's a great blessing to have this relationship with God because of the temptation that we are beset with each and every day. I don't care how you live your life, you're going to be tempted. But Paul told the Corinthian brethren, there is no temptation that's overtaken you that's not common to man. Not only that, God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And while there's a whole other lesson on what that help that God will give us to overcome that temptation might be, here's a hint. We let God lead us. It's a great blessing to know that God is there for us. He's there to grab a hold of us and to help us in whatever trouble or struggle we may get into. Whatever we may be facing, we know we can turn to God and He will be there for us. The Hebrew writer says, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do for you? Because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there, always. And He's proven that He's there in His demonstration of love. 1 John 3 and verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. You know, that illustration of God as a parent, as a father, is a very powerful illustration. How many of us with children, no matter where they live, if they called up and said, I need you to help me now, wouldn't do everything we could possibly do to get there and help? Now, if they're far enough away, we might not be able to go ourselves, but we would take every step we could to take care of their situation. To help them. No matter what caused them to get there. We will answer their call for help. That's the kind of relationship we have with God. Do we thank God for that? Jump ahead in the lesson. Do you thank your parents for that? We have God as our Father. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, Paul says in Romans chapter 8. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And I can't help but think of the illustration in the story of the prodigal son. That son came back and said, Father, make me a slave. And the father said, no, you are my son. Our relationship with God is a great and wonderful blessing. But we also have a relationship with the rest of God's children. What a blessing it is to have those of like precious faith walking with us in this world. None of us are left on our own. Sometimes we think about the church as the place where we come together so that we can worship God and so we can study the Word of God, and certainly our assemblies on the Lord's Day and our assemblies for Bible class, both on the Lord's Day and on Wednesday evening, are purposeful in that direction. But that's not the only relationship we have together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We have folks we can call on for anything, because we know they'll be there for us. Because we're family. We need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful for our brethren. Not just our brethren in our local assembly that where we gather together here in Malvern, Arkansas, but we have brethren across the world. It has been rare that I have entered into an assembly of the saints and felt like a stranger for very long. There's been a few where I looked a little bit out of place. But not even many of those. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer." To the Philippian brethren, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." To the Colossians, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." You get a theme there? To the Thessalonians, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." What a great blessing to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are out there doing their best to serve the Lord. And we can count on them to continue in that. Sometimes we look at our small little group and we notice that we have 4 or 5 or maybe 9 on Wednesday evening for Bible class. We have one Sunday where we have 20-something for worship services, and that Sunday night we're doing good to get 12 or 10. We think, man, we're struggling so much. We have so few. But you know what? All across the world, there are groups of 2 and 5 and 10 and 100 and 300 who are gathering together to worship and honor and praise God. And I'm firmly convinced that's one of the main reasons this world has not been destroyed already. We need to be careful about beginning to think we're standing alone. And we'll go back and read about Elijah. We just studied that not too long ago in our Sunday night class, by the way, if you missed that. We're not alone. We have brothers and sisters across the world and across the interstate, down the highway a little bit. And we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. I have brothers and sisters in Christ that I can call upon in any corner of this country and all through the middle. And they'll be there for me. Just because of the relationship we have together as part of the family of God. When Paul wrote to Philemon, he said in verse 4 through 6, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayer." because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. It is so wonderful to hear brethren pray for other brethren elsewhere, even some we may not have ever even heard of. Are we thanking God for our fellow Christians and the blessing that we have in that relationship? Are we thanking God for His Word? Thanks be to God, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. That's some very flowery language there. What Paul says, I thank God for His Word and that it's being spread. When's the last time that you prayed to God and thanked Him for leaving His Word to guide us? Thanked Him for the instruction and the help that that Word has provided. Not just in our salvation, not just in our cleansing of sin, but in getting through life and dealing with others. For the help the Word gives us in our relationship with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our neighbors, with our friends. Paul told Timothy, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Now I realize Paul got his strength from Jesus through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was directly inspired with the Word. But it's the same Word that we have contained for us in a form that we can understand. When Paul wrote to the Roman brethren, and there's a lot involved in the book of Romans. We could spend several lessons just getting some of the points from the surface. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul said, the Word of God will transform us. It will make us new. Cleanse out the old and fill us with the love of God, with the Word and instruction that He's given to guide us in this life. Earlier, Paul had told those same brethren, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, make you obey its passions. Do not present yourself, your members, to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And your members to God as instruments for righteousness. That's the kind of transformation that God's Word makes in us. It changes us from death to life. It changes us from bad to good. It changes us from I can't stand to be around that guy to, you know, he's a pretty good fella. Changes us from, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me near. Do you thank God for His Word? Do you thank God for the spread of His Word? Because it is the spread of His gospel that makes a difference in this world. I don't care how many books of men you may find that talk about how we ought to live together and get along, how we ought to conduct ourselves. If they're not based in the Word of God, and if you're not using the Word of God to make that change, the world will not get better. While we're talking about the need to thank God for His Word, do we thank God for our ability to talk to people about the Word? And do we ask God to increase us in that? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God's Word changes life. It changed our life. It changed your life. What you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, Paul told Timothy. That's the same thing Jesus told the apostles. What I taught you, you teach others. Proverbs 11 and 30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls, or whoever wins souls, winneth souls, is wise. We thank God for our spiritual blessing. Not just our salvation, but our relationship with Him, our relationship with our fellow Christians, our relationship and the guidance and instruction and help that His Word gives us. And I'll tell you what, one of the best ways we can thank God for His Word is to talk to others about it. Let them know. We also need to thank God for our physical blessing. Because it is God who provides all things. Jesus took loaves. He gave thanks before He handed them out to the crowds in John 6 and Matthew 15 and several other places as well. Think about that for a minute. It was Jesus who spoke the world into existence. But when Jesus took bread to give to the others, He thanked God for that bread. Instruction to the apostles when they said, when they wanted to learn how to pray, He said, give us this day our daily bread. Thank God. Give attention and honor to God for your daily needs. When Paul was in the midst of the storm on his way to Rome, as a prisoner, all hope was lost for most, but not for Paul. In the midst of all of that, Paul had concern for those who were with him, and he took food and said, you need to eat. And the first thing he did with it was thank God. When you read that story, you find Paul thanked God for more than just food. We need to thank God for our daily needs. Paul writes about some who were requiring abstinence, who were making restrictions in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And he speaks in regards to that. He says, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. We of all people, as children of God, are aware that our food, our clothing, our shelter, our comfort came from God. The fact that I did not have to get up out of a warm sort of warm bed and walk across a cold house to get a fire going in the fireplace. It's because of God. Fact that, let's be honest, my wife had a lot of different shirts and pants to choose for me to wear today. It was because of God. No matter what you think about the current temperature of the building, the reason it is at the temperature that it is because of God's blessing. And I say that because I know some think it's cold and some think it's hot. But it's because of God's blessing. As I mentioned, we're only a few generations away from the time when somebody would have had to come up here and build a fire up in the furnace or in the fireplace so that we could come in here and sit without our teeth chattering if we got close enough to the fireplace. That's because of blessings from God. Do you thank God for those things? How often do you enumerate to God the things for which you are thankful? I'm not saying that every time we pray to God, we need to get down the list. I thank God for my blue shirt and for my white shirt and for my black pants and for my brown pants. And I thank God for the cornbread and I thank God for the spaghetti noodles and I thank God for the quilt that my grandmother made and I thank God for the quilt that my wife made. We don't have to do that list all the time, but tell you what, every now and then we need to stop and look at the blessings God has given us, because everything we have that provides for our daily needs came from God. We're not going to read all of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. It's a passage familiar to us, and sometime in the coming months we'll be looking at that passage anyway as we continue to look at the things in the Sermon on the Mount. But notice, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Yes, he will. Yes, he does. We need to thank God for filling our need. Actually, not just our weak needs. Most of us are well beyond our needs. For blessing us beyond what we deserve. But also for seeing to it that we have what is necessary for life. Even if the only thing we had were four walls and a roof and a dirt floor, we should thank God that the roof stayed up all night. There'd be nothing wrong with asking the Lord, can we have a door? But we need to thank Him for what we have. We need to be thankful because we are blessed. We need to be thankful for our companionship, family and friends. We've alluded to this a little bit as we talked about our brothers and sisters in Christ, because there are none who would be closer to us than our brothers and sisters in Christ. Even as close as we may be with some of our family members who are outside the body of Christ, they don't have the same relationship with us that we do with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Even with our children that have strayed away from the Lord, there's a little strain on that relationship that's not there between us and our brethren. Makes it a little difficult. We're still close to them. We still love them. And we need to thank God for that. We need to thank God that we have that. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the psalmist says, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies. in the gate. And I want to stop here and say that passage doesn't say you've got to make sure you fill your quiver all the way up with every challenge you can possibly get. There's some that want to point it that way. What the psalmist says there is be grateful to God for the blessings He's given you, because having children is a blessing. It's good to have our children with us from time to time. It's good when they go back home too. But it's good to have them with us. And it's good to know that they are there. Some of us depend upon our children more than we thought we would. Some of us as children are dependent upon more than we really expected would happen too. Or have been. Because our parents are not able to do what they had been able to do, or are not here to do for us. But are we thankful for the relationship we have with our parents and our children? Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, Paul talks a lot about the various relationships we have, and we can look at all of those, but consider those first four verses of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, love and submit to your husbands. Psalmist and the writer of Proverbs tell us that there are friends who are closer than brothers. And we thank God for the relationships we have with various individuals. No. Do we thank God for that neighbor that doesn't throw their stuff over in our yard and keeps their fence up? What is it saying? One of the best things for good neighbors is to have a good fence. But do we thank God for the relationships we have? Now, they're not going to be the same relationship we have with Christians. But they're going to be some close relationships, some people that we can call on. I suspect every one of us have one or two people that we know if we got stuck somewhere, we could call them and they'd be there with their four-wheel drive and their winch and their tow snatch rope, and they'd have us out. I don't know, maybe you got a buddy that's actually got a record come get you. We've got people that we know if we had a wreck and needed somebody to give us a ride home because our car was being towed off, we could call them up and they'd give us a ride back home. Sometimes that's a Christian because we have that kind of relationship. Sometimes it's a lifelong friend. Sometimes it's just somebody we met a couple of weeks ago that we connected with. But those relationships, that companionship that we have with individuals throughout the world around us, are there because God allows them. They're blessings from God. Paul said, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. I'll tell you what, the family relationship, especially the family relationship among Christians, a family that is made up of those who serve the Lord, is the strongest relationship you will ever find. They will support one another through whatever comes, and we need to be thankful for all things. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of Christ Jesus, or will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Every good gift, James says, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, to whom, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. For His invisible attributes, Paul told the Romans, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. God is evident in all things. It is because of Him that we have anything that we have, any relationship, any need that is fulfilled is a result of God's work, not mine, not yours. Am I thankful? I ought to be, because I am blessed. Blessed beyond what I deserve. And most important of all, I am blessed because of the salvation that is provided through the death of Jesus Christ. The song we're about to sing, if I'm remembering the title right, is Kneel at the Cross. Come and submit yourself to Jesus. I know I'm speaking to an audience of people that have been serving the Lord for years. Are you confident in your salvation? I hope that you are. But that confidence only comes from your trust in God, from your study and application of the Word of God in your life. Without that, you have nothing. Without that, you wouldn't even know you're lost. So, I asked this morning, are you following the will of God? Did you obey the will of God to become a part of His family? Have you done the things that God required? Because God does require things of us. Belief in Jesus, yes, that's absolutely essential. Confession of that belief, that He is the Son of God. Turning away from following self and following the world and giving myself wholly over to the Lord. Being buried in baptism so that I can have my sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But then I must live faithful. I must continue in that journey of faithfulness to the Lord, of devoting myself to Him every single hour of every single day. And when I find that I've strayed from that, I need to correct it. You know, John writes in 1 John chapter 2, he says, I write to you because I want you to stay away from sin. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But if you do get caught up in sin, Jesus is there to step in on your behalf, to speak for you as an advocate, because He's the propitiation. He's the one who paid the price for my sins. Now just a few verses up, He said, if you confess your sins to God, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you find this morning you're not right in the sight of God, and we can help you with that, come and let your desire be known while we stand and sing for encouragement.